What should I do? That's the title of the message today. What should I do? And we're going to take that from the book of Acts, chapter 4. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to start reading the first four verses, and then we're going to talk about those, and then we're going to go back and read in the middle of the chapter, then we're going to go back and read in the last of the chapter. So I would suggest that you keep your Bibles open, because we're going to be going back there from time to time during the course of the message. Would you stand, please, as we read from the precious Word of God, Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, we're told these words. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Isn't that an awesome verse? Wouldn't you like to see such a response to the Word of God as it's preached? Let's once again look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael Weatherford, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Do you ever come to that point where you just have to stop and say, what I do now? Which direction do I go now? And that's kind of where we're at in the apostles, but in the life of the apostles. But let me give you a little background, okay? Up to this point, and I'm not going to preach last week's message again, but you know last week how that Peter and James were on their way into the temple. During the hour of prayer, they met a lame man who was lame since his birth, and the lame man asked alms or begged money from them. And remember Peter's word? He said, silver and gold, I don't have any. I don't have any money, but that which I have, I give to you. Now, and the guy, the lame man, jumped up to his feet and he walked for the first time in his life. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony to the power of God that was. But what that did was it opened up the door for the preaching of the gospel. Okay. Right after that, the people all ran to them, and Peter began to preach Jesus Christ and His resurrection from the dead. Now in chapter 4, what we've read is Peter has upset the apple cart of the religious establishment of that day. You want to get in trouble? Upset the establishment. Whatever establishment it is, it's religion, government, whatever it is. Once people get that establishment, we get comfortable in it. We don't want to move, okay? And so now they're facing basically their first challenge. And in the first challenge, these folks arrested them. The Sadducees, the chief priests, the temple guards, you know, they all come together and they're all upset because Jesus was preached and the resurrection from the dead. And so that's the conflict. That's we begin with the conflict. And you know, when I thought about where they were, I thought about how it just terribly, greatly upset these men that they preached Jesus and resurrection from the dead. You see, the resurrection from the dead was opposite of the Sadducees' foundational doctrine. The Sadducees believed there were no life after death, and I still can't get my mind around why do you want to create a religion that that this life is all there is. That's not much of a religion, is it? I'm glad to know this life is not all there is. But the Sadducees, they believed once you died, it was over. And so when Peter and John preached Jesus' resurrection from the dead, that was the challenge. And it says these guys came upon them. And the first thing we discover is this, that there is a cost to being a child of God. And I want you to think on that just a moment. It costs being a child of God. Because, you know, Peter and John, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing exactly what Jesus told them, carrying out the Great Commission. They're preaching the gospel. And here, the first thing that happens is they get in trouble for it. You know, we think as long as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, then everything should be smooth sailing and I should have no trouble. And actually, the very opposite is true. If you're truly taking your stand for Jesus Christ, if you're truly doing what you're supposed to do, then, beloved, that's going to open the door for opposition. You're going to have trouble. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Understand that it cost to stand for Jesus. Okay? And kids, I especially want y'all to get this, all right? It may cost you friends. It may cost you popularity. It may even cost your very well-being. But trust me, it costs to take your stand for Jesus Christ. I can't help but smile as, you know, Facebook, wonderful. I read Facebook. I don't put much on it. I just amuse myself by reading what everybody else puts on it, right? And sometimes I can't help but smile as we think we have it so difficult in this life. Oh, it was a bad day today. I didn't feel well. Please pray for me. Really? My car broke down today. You know what? In Bible days, they didn't even have cars. My air conditioner doesn't work. They didn't have those either in the Bible. And I get to looking, I get to thinking, for some reason we've come to the point thinking, boy, we've really got it so hard. When we've really, well, just to be honest with you, we're spoiled beyond measure. You know? And to the point that when we think it's going to cost us something, we think, okay, that's a direction I don't need to go. Because God doesn't actually expect me to give up my friends or my popularity or my well-being just for His glory. On the contrary, God does expect you to pay the cost of being a child of God. You see, we look at, you know, Most people look at, well, I go to church, Brother Doug. Good for you. But that's not a cost. I give up my Sunday nights, Brother Doug. That's not a cost. Let me ask you, do you stand boldly and publicly for Jesus Christ, no matter who it bothers? We are living in a day, and we are fast coming to the point where it's becoming less and less popular to be an outspoken child of God. People, you know, they don't mind if you're a Christian. They don't mind if you're going to church. They just want you to keep quiet about it. Which goes absolutely opposite of the Great Commission. And when you start proclaiming Jesus, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. You're going to, as a matter of fact, be tested. Back to the text, verse 13. They're arrested. They're thrown into jail for the night. Have you ever been thrown into jail for the gospel? Would you still let me be your pastor if I was? Three of you would. Okay. I'm telling you, there may come a day. There may come a day. They're thrown in prison. Now they're brought out of prison. And they're set before this council. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men?" I love this part. Okay, Peter and John standing there. Got the Sanhedrin, all the big boys are discussing it. What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. I love it when there's no defense, you know. We can't deny it. It has happened. But so that it spreads no farther. And see, here's the tactic of the world. So that it spreads no farther among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. You see the intimidation here? They have no leg to stand on. Yeah, they could say nothing because a miracle had occurred. And they couldn't deny that the miracle had occurred because this was the lame man whom everybody knew that from his mother's from being born, he couldn't walk. Daily he's laid at the temple gates. Now he's walking. So they go to plan B. So that it spread no farther, let us severely threaten them. Do not speak at all in the name of Jesus. Do not teach at all in the name of Jesus. They're just intimidating. Okay? Have you ever been intimidated? Young people, let me ask you this. Teenagers. Have you ever been intimidated? Oh, no, Brother Doug, I'm not intimidated. Have you ever felt pressure to do something that you knew you should not do? You ever felt that pressure? What did you do? Here's the question. What should I do? The title of the message, right? That's one of the oldest tactics of Satan. They pressure you. They make you feel small. They make you feel like you have no choice. I want to tell you something. Everybody, adults and children alike, grab hold of this. You have a choice. You cannot be made to do nor to say anything that you don't want to do or say. Okay? They can threaten you. They can pressure you. They can do whatever they want to do. See, and we cave today. And I'm really concerned for our country because we're going to that point where spirituality and religion has no backbone. We're so worried about being politically correct. Let's not offend this group. Let's not offend that group. Let's let everybody do as they want to do and let's not say anything against anybody. That's not religion. That is not Bible. Okay? Since the beginning, Christians have had to take a public stand for the honor and for the glory of God. One of the greatest disservices that we've done to our children as well as Christians today is we've told ourselves that it's just so much tougher today than it's ever been. You listen to me. That is a lie. It is not tougher today. The problem today is we're losing our backbone. We're refusing to take a stand. We've told our kids, oh, there's just so much temptation today. I understand there's immorality. I understand there's drugs. I understand there's pressure. However, I also understand that stuff has always been here. And if you're a child of God, God has the expectation of you to take your stand publicly. You know why we're not respected as we once were? Because we don't stand anymore. We don't stand. How sad. I look at these men and I think, wow. What's their defense? You know, I look and they severely threaten. And you know, the threat is, hey, if you preach Jesus, we're going to beat you. We might even kill you. You remember what we did to Jesus? Same thing could happen to you, old Peter, John. Listen, I want to tell you something. It's always been hard. Teenagers, every teen in this congregation, please look at me right now. And I'm not trying to single you out, but I am trying to single you out. Because teenage years is where we get in trouble. You have it easy. Okay? You are not abused. As a matter of fact, far from it. But it is expected of you to take a stand among your peers. At school, when they're tempting you to take a stand. And, you know, it's that, well, if you want to be part of the popular crowd, you'll come do like us. Tell them no. No, I don't do that. Well, Brother Doug, they won't accept me. Big deal. I'll explain. Let me share something with you. Those who will not accept you in high school, you do not want to be a part of them anyway. Okay? If they want to steer clear of you and push you out of the group because you're a child of God and because you have morals and standards, then you take your stand and say, glory to God, push me out. I'll stand for my Jesus. You see, something happens when you grow up. You start to not care anymore. And by that I mean, yeah, I'm going to stand for Jesus. And if you don't like it, that's your problem. And I don't mean to sound harsh or ugly. But you know what? Jesus is what makes this life worth living and what makes the next life worth looking forward to. You got to be willing to take a stand. Paul, you want somebody who had trouble? 2 Corinthians, there it is. 2 Corinthians 11:23. Paul was talking about his life and how some were bragging about what a tough time they had. Paul said, let me tell you what I've been through for the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians 11:23, Paul said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors. I worked when I hadn't wanted to work anymore, but I kept on working. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure." Paul had been whipped for his faith. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. That the word death literally means death blows. He was struck with blows that could have killed. He said, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 39 stripes. You see, the law only allowed somebody to be beaten with the whip 39 times. Boy, I can't imagine. 39 times with that cat of nine tails. But Paul, not just once, but 5 times he went through that. 3 times I was beaten with rods. When they got tired of hitting him with a whip, they got out the big boards. I was stoned once. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day, I've been in the deep. He was floating around in the sea. Didn't know whether he was going to see the next day. 26, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own country, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul says, you name it, I've been there. But if you'll notice, the bottom line is, Paul said, it is tough. Now, I want to tell you something. I've not been threatened to be stoned yet. I've not been threatened to be put in prison yet. But there's coming, you know, I'm really becoming concerned. One of the things that concerns me right now is the Supreme Court, the decision they're going to make on same-sex marriage. And folks, I'll stand here and I'll tell you today, I will not do a same-sex marriage, period, end of conversation. It will not happen. You may have to start a jail minister to come visit your pastor, but that's okay. What I'm trying to get across is, I know, and I'm not taking some big stand, because this church will not allow a same-sex marriage to happen here, okay? It's not like I'm trying to take some big stand out. But I want you to understand, we've got to take our stands outside these walls. Children of God, teenagers, you've got to take your stand among your friends. Okay? And if they can't live with your stand for Jesus, they're not your friend. Okay? Adults, we've got to learn to tell people about Jesus Christ. We've got to be willing to share the greatest thing that has ever happened in our life, Jesus Christ. We have got to spread the word. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, Brother Doug, I'm afraid I'll hurt their feelings. I'd rather hurt their feelings than see them in eternity in hell without Jesus. Listen, it's time to stand up. As we talk about growing, go reach our world. This is about you and I being willing to stand up. And if it costs, then it costs. But willing to lift Jesus Christ for all the world to see. You see, they come down to that point where they're tested and intimidated. And the examination involves this one question. Are you with me? Do I listen to God or man? Do I listen to God or man? You see, I asked you in the beginning, you ever come to that point where you just kind of feel like, I don't know what I should do? Most of the times when we're talking about spiritual questions, I'll be honest with you, I know what I should do. Because God's Word's pretty plain and spells it out. Okay? And the question is not, what should I do? The question is, do I have the intestinal fortitude to do what God would have me to do? That's my challenge to you, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Will you stand up for God? Or will you get in line with the establishment? Listen, they were arrested. They were tested. And they were true. And I love how this thing went down. In the last part of this chapter, in verses 23 and 24, it talks about... Well, let's just go there. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions. You know who the companions are? The companions of the church. They went to their brethren. They went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders said to them. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Lord, You are God. You know what they do? You know, they stood there in the face of the threat of these people, of these Sadducees. And then, when the Sadducees let them go, they went to their church family and said, guys, we got to pray. I said there are some things going on in our nation that concern me. You know what we as a church have got to get back to doing? We've got to get back to serious prayer. Okay, I mean prayer for one another. Prayer where we pour out, where we literally pour out ourselves to God and hit our knees for one another. And I want you to look, this is at their request. This is the amazing part. In verse 29, they're crying out to God. You know what they said? They said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to Your servants that with all boldness they may speak Your word. Lord, our request is that we may boldly speak Your word. Did you notice they didn't pray, Lord, will You just take these people out of the way? Lord, will You save our lives? Lord, I'm so sorry, but we just can't go any farther. You know, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. They didn't pray any of that. They said, Lord, give us boldness to preach Your word. What a prayer request. Their concern was not the trouble or the intimidation they faced. Their concern was, God, don't let us fail You. Isn't that cool? And when I think of my prayers and our prayers in general, you know, our prayers are someone sick. Lord, will You heal them? Wonderful. Okay, I'm not saying don't pray for the sick. Absolutely. We're going to pray for the sick. Okay? But prayer for the sick should not really be the meat of our prayer life. We pray things like, Lord, help me get this job. Lord, help my children make the honor roll. And I've even heard, Lord, help my daughter make the cheer team. But seldom do I hear, God, don't let us fail you. Lord, give me boldness to take the stand in front of my peers. Give me boldness to take a stand for your glory outside these walls. Give me glory. Give me the intestinal fortitude to glorify you. I'm reminded of Matthew 6:33 when Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. You know, the bulk of our prayer life should be, God, don't let me fail you. Lord, don't let me fail you. I love the response. Wouldn't you like to see revival today? I mean, wouldn't you like to see it sweep this church and then sweep the city, state? It matters what you're praying for. It says, and when they had prayed, we get to their response. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Oh, beloved, they were filled. And God answered their prayer. I'm reminded that people said, that often say, you know, Brother Doug, I've prayed, but God hasn't answered my prayers. What have you prayed for? What are you asking for? What's your real concern? Oh, listen, I truly believe, and I have to accept responsibility for this, I truly believe we are where we are as a nation because we as children of God have not stood up and not been public with our testimony and with what we believe. My friends, we're coming to a point where we're going to have to stand up. And it's either going to be stand up or get ran over. And it may be difficult. We may have to pay a price for it. We, young people, you may lose friends over it. Adults, you may lose friends over it. But you understand this. If it's for the glory of God, for the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ, it's worth it. He gave His life so that you could have eternal life. Don't be whining about the cost of Jesus, of what it takes to stand for Jesus today. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you think, boy, if it's all about this cost stuff, I don't know that I want that. Let me share with you. It'll be worth it all. Okay? It'll be worth it all because this life is not all there is. You know, the older I get, the more I'm coming to the realization more and more that this life is not all there is. Yeah. But there's been a place prepared eternal in the heavens for me. That's what Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. When this life is over, where are you going? I'm going to heaven. Not because of what I've done. Not because I've deserved to go to heaven. But because Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary to pay for my sin. And He has offered that salvation to me. All that's required on my part. Number one is repentance. Repentance. Okay? That means a turning. Turning away from sin and turning to God. Turning away from whatever it is I've been trusting in the past and turning to God. But Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And that's still true today. See, many churches are becoming social clubs. Let's just all hold hands and you be whatever you are and it'll be all right. That's not gospel. As a matter of fact, I've often heard people say, well, you know, now a church is just a hospital for sinners. And they use that as an excuse to try to be a part of a church and live like the devil. If that's your theology, which that is flawed theology, but if that's your theology, let me ask you this. Okay? If you go to the hospital, why do you go? To get better. Right? Right? If you're not getting better in your church, you need to change churches. Okay? If the soul is not being medicated with the Word of God, you need to evaluate where you are. I said all this to say that Jesus said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. When you call upon Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you truly give your heart to Christ, things change. Okay? Things change. The important things that were important are not nearly as important as the spiritual things. Have you been made a new creation? If you're not saved, I want to invite you. Will you receive Jesus as your Savior today? And if you are saved, I want to challenge you. Go public. Let everybody know who you are and what you stand for. Do not be intimidated. And if it costs, pay it. But take your stand for Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, and your love. And Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, help us to realize the importance of our stand for you. Help us to, Lord, to have a resolve. Help us, Lord, to be bold. Give us that boldness, that strength that can only come from you. Our young as well as our middle age and our old, help us to be bold in our faith. And Lord, through it all, for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we love you and we pray your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?